April 26, 2023, it's the Watch for Pedro show.
Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. Happy Wednesday. Started off with Congo Blues. This is John Coltrane with Dizzy Gillespie. 1951 Birdland Unknown Radio Broadcast. Yeah, that's a great classroom. Dizzy Gillespie's. Learning on the job, right, John Coltrane? Then Free Static with Disco Metallic. And because of those Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention, I'm not in man alone mode. I am joined by Courtney and Chris, Free Static, all the way from Eugene. Welcome aboard.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, yeah, hello.
And we got to give credit right away for the connect to Randolph and those people with the difficult music. Yeah. Hey, nothing's worth it unless it's difficult. Sometimes it comes easy. You know, sometimes it's like shit in a pecan log. So, Chris, you were the one to volunteer first. Your journey. Please bring your earliest musical recollection. Remember, it's a Watt for Pedro show. There's no hard questions. There's no wrong answers.
Earliest recollections are, you know, parents playing records. But, you know, the stuff they were into were like The Carpenters and Simon and Garfunkel, which is good stuff. But, yeah, that's kind of my earliest memories of music is my folks playing records.
Okay. And, yeah, I didn't know that, so I'm glad you told me. But when I get this fucking mind-reading thing worked out, fuck words, right? I just fuck all this shit right out of here. No, just yank it on your testicles. In this pad you grew up, was there musical instruments?
Yeah, we had a piano.
Okay, that leads to the question when I get told that. Did you have to endure? Well, for some people it was positive. For a lot of cats who've been on the show, it almost chased them away from music. The piano lesson experience.
I took them for a while. Didn't stick. And it wasn't painful or anything. It didn't really keep me away from music, but, you know, I didn't really develop any skills that followed me into young adulthood and into my current career in music.
Okay. But, yeah, like Ishmael, right? You live to tell the tale.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. And what about in school? Were you the marching band or in the choir, shit like that?
No, not at all.
Okay, I wasn't there again. You got to tell me.
Yeah.
But when you get that reminding thing, don't worry. There's a bright future up ahead, about a billion years. Okay. Let me ask you this. What was the first record you bought with your own money, please, Chris?
It could be a record or CD or tape.
I'm 65 years old. I'm sorry. Just any kind of medium encased thing where you had, because when you're a boy, you ain't got a lot of money. That's why I asked that question.
Yeah, the earliest one I can think of was probably like, maybe it was the Cramps Greatest Hits.
Okay,
cassette.
That's a good one.
Yeah, that's a really good one.
Songs that the Lord taught us. I remember that's the first one I got. What about first gig you saw?
It was a local punk band at our high school. I can't even remember the name of the band anymore. Okay. You know, they were just, I think they were probably high school kids that had a band, and they played in the gymnasium, and it was, you know, fantastic.
I mean, this was a few years after I graduated, but here in Pedro, at Pedro High, Black Flag tried to play at lunchtime. Maybe 83, 82 or something. And, not only does the gig get stopped, and fuck, the PA blew out, so Hank was just hollering and shit. But the lady who put on the gig got suspended to show you how fucked up it was, you know, what a threat this movement was. God, fucking, you know, laid down the road is what, Green Day and Blink-182. What the fuck were they afraid of? The jocks painting their fingernails, you know. Anyway, we don't need a critique from Watt, but that's cool that got to go down where you were at. Now, I'm not talking after high school graduating or junior high, but in the afternoon, did you get into that basement band, bedroom band, garage band thing?
I had a friend who had a band in high school, and I was, you know, I was kind of like, I helped them lug equipment and, you know, come up with art for flyers and stuff, and they played some shows around town, and that was a lot of fun. I wasn't in the band, but I was kind of I hung out with them.
In Pedro, we say side mouse.
That's right. That's good.
Georgie, because we were chowing this Minuteman, we're on tour, and of course, D Boone gets served after Georgie, so he also called him helicopter because the fork could start twirling around, you know. And, hey, what's that taste like? What do you mean, French fries? Yeah, well, yeah, it's a little mouse, right? So that's where we got that song. So, but you were around the experience of putting together music and expressing yourself. Okay. When you start actually, migrate from side mouse to participant. Principal?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, you know, I got into a lot of it. This was the early 90s, and I started discovering some experimental music, a lot of kind of noisy stuff that was being produced at that time. And I kind of thought, I can do that. That's really fun. And I started kind of building my own instruments with, out of random things.
Whoa, what was guitars. The first what was the first instrument you built?
I was living in an apartment and we had a couch that we couldn't get out because it was in the basement, and so we had to hack it apart. So the wood was good, so I kind of like was like, oh, I'll
repurpose it.
Yeah, so I took that couch and turned it into kind of this percussive instrument with a guitar pickup on it, and you could bang on it. It made this real weird doomy sound. So I made an instrument. I started recording it and passing it around to friends and my scene in Albuquerque, New Mexico. I'm from Albuquerque, New Mexico.
Okay, Berkey. So let me, there's a whole art to the contact mic thing, right? You can put them on fucking anything and turn them into a fucking trip you can play.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, because I've had cats on the show. I mean, fucking contact mic on a contact mic, even. Talk about a cascade fuck. Okay. So, a cajon, right? That's box, right? In Espanol. They were playing the boxes because they took away the drums, right? And they made them slaves into other fucked work. So maybe it's you getting in touch with a tradition that's pretty fucking old.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Yeah,
I had never thought about it.
Yeah,
like
cajon, box. It's literally box. You beat on this. They sit on them. They're like they double up as a fucking throne, right? I like the way it ain't a stool, right? It's a throne. Yeah. That's right. Look, you cats gave me this music, fur line toothpaste. Let's play. Lot from Pedro Show. That chunk of music you start off with Free Static and Fur Line Toothpaste. Colin Dyer, brand new after. Get this title. I mean, that Fur Line Toothpaste, pretty good. But get this one. 7061-7261-7369-7465. Okay. Noisuke after that with Closed Sunday and People. It's in parentheses. Right? Fucking. Get your semantics. The Chunks, bass players from Scotland. He wants everyone to know. A trining wedding, then alto with the exclamation point. Alto! Which means up, people. Not bajo, which is my job. P16. And then finally, free static with glass sog. I think. It took three tries. Did I get it? Okay. By the card, you're next. Let's hear your earliest musical recollection, please.
Yeah, I think similar to Chris, my earliest musical recollection was just my parents playing Mac Davis records in like Loggins and Messina, and my mom playing piano in the house.
Loggins, Messina, your daddy don't rock and roll.
Exactly, yeah. Mama don't. Yeah.
So, yeah, a little calmer listening. And Mac Davis ended up with a TV show for a little while, I remember.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I mean, everybody did it.
Everyone had a variety hour, yeah.
Right, a variety. And notice that's completely good. Now they're judges on fucking Ted Mac Amateur Hour clone thing. Yeah. Okay, nothing's new under the sun, people. Just repurposed, right, Chris? Okay, so was this pad instrumentless besides the piano, like Chris?
No, piano was pretty much it. My folks were in the church choir, and so I think that was the other thing. They were always, you know, going to choir practice, and then we all had piano lessons.
Now, how was the experience for you?
It was okay. I struggled with reading the notes. I had some, like, learning disability. I got really hung up on remembering the notes, so I did quit. I quit when I was young.
My experience with guests having not so too positive experiences, it's more of the teacher. It's not the idea of lessons.
Yeah, I don't think so. I was a very hands-on, I don't know, maybe we'll get to this, but drums became my instrument later on in school.
In school. So, yeah, you know, the you probably are in the same room. Well, I saw you guys sitting next to each other. So
yeah.
You heard about the, school band or choir shit, and you did some of that. And what kind, in the marching band, I mean, there's the triple toms, there's the big kick, except it's played with mallets, and there's the field drums. And what part of the drum? It's like they part out the trap kit.
Yeah, you know, I won a free lesson at the fairgrounds, and a cousin gave me a snare drum, and so I started in the concert band in like sixth grade, and then quickly moved over to drum set for they had a jazz program in the school system I was in, so moved quickly over to full drum set.
Well, if you would have stayed with the concert, you would have been playing all those little chincaderas, right? Like triangle and.
Yeah, those were fun. I did a lot of band in high school. I stayed in the wind ensemble, and I played a lot of the percussion stuff. I really liked all of anything that you could hit and made noise, I was into.
And that shit scored, so you had to learn to read for that.
I did, but I still struggled to read. I could sight read some jazz charts, but I learned mostly by listening. And I had a theory class in high school, and I fell behind really fast, and my music teacher could see that I was struggling with just remembering the theory. So he let me pass the class if I just went into his office and listened to jazz records for the period. So I just spent a lot of time listening to jazz records.
That's a good teacher. That's a good teacher. Because he, you know what I mean? It's not one size fits all. He fucking, what's it called? Empathy.
Yeah. Yeah, so ear training, you know, learning just to listen to the band and listen what other drummers were doing and just play for hours trying to figure it out. And I had lessons. I had a outside lessons outside of school also.
And how would you... With that teacher cat happening?
Yeah, he was cool. Okay, yeah, he was really active locally in a lot of
because
bands.
I've had negative experiences too. Like, you know, Mary had a little lamb and I want to learn Iron Maiden or some shit. And,
no, he would teach me, you know, Black Dog and Rush songs. And
because that's what kids want to do, right? They want to learn songs off of records.
Exactly, yeah. Exactly. Yeah, and he would give me tapes to listen to and... you know, listen to YYZ and listen to Black Dog and listen to this, that, and the other thing. And so he knew I was a good...
Black Dog is really tough, too, because I think John Bonham is not really playing in time with those guys. But he's so solid, he makes the time.
Yeah, that opening has like an odd time.
No time. I think it's parallel universe.
Yeah.
And I've heard people like debate this shit. And you know what? Fuck it.
Yeah.
It works. Okay.
Does it rock or not?
Yeah, right. In jazz, they'd say swing, right? Is a swung?
Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, in fact, that would be like a real heavy thing. It's almost like poser word in the punk movement earlier.
Yeah.
Yeah, like with the fake name and funny clothes. I ain't posing. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, right.
Far from it. Billion years. Billion miles. So what about like what I asked Chris? Not graduating, but in the afternoon, the garage band, basement band, bedroom band?
Yeah, so one of my – I had three brothers, and one of them played electric guitar. And so he and I actually just played a lot together in our bedrooms. And he'd bring his guitar and amp into my room, and we would just jam. And he was learning, like, Jimi Hendrix and Red Hot Chili Peppers and Led Zeppelin riffs. And so we would just play for hours, the two of us, and then – And then it was mostly that in jazz band in high school.
But not really writing original compositions and not really performing, just joy of
not,
music?
Yeah, not until college.
And then what do you do for college?
He and I did form a band. We were living in Seattle. It was the 90s, so it was a very, like, kind of grunge, doomy punk, Melvin's sort of heavy band, and we played around Seattle a little bit
90s,
together.
90s, I remember playing with Zeke.
Oh, Zeke was great.
Under the Rail, because I guess this pad was under the rail.
Yeah.
But anyway, why I remember it real well is because G.G. Allin was the night before, and there was an odor.
I bet there was.
And you know what Watt learned? Big tour lesson, even though I had already been touring for 20-something years. Bring your own mic, especially if you go on after that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, after GZ, no joke.
Oh, okay, what was this band called?
That band was called Not So Much.
Okay, so is this your first band? What was Not So Much first gig?
I think our first gig was a house party. We had a house with friends from art school, and we just all collected, and other bands would play, and we played there a lot, and then we started playing some bars.
Let me ask you about that first gig. You only have your first gig once, so I want to ask a little bit about that. Would you consider it a success?
Oh, hell yeah.
Okay, great. I mean, they didn't throw shit. Batteries hurt, especially the D ones. I was talking to Brother Ted about that. Where Minuteman was opening for Flipper, and some fucker hit me right in the chest with a D cell.
Oh, I don't think it was that rowdy our first
game. Yeah, kind of a success.
Yeah.
I didn't die. Okay. So, how long has this band... Now, is this still just a duet? Is there... With that poor, lonely kick drum, where's the bass player?
Yeah. No, we did. We had a friend we recruited to play bass, and she learned to play bass in that band with us. We were a trio.
Oh, power trio. And what about the material? Did you move on to making your own stuff?
Yeah, it was all original.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Now, who was it? Was your brother? Is your brother older?
Younger.
He's younger.
Yeah.
So you were writing the songs?
We both were. It was pretty collaborative. It was usually like somebody had a riff or somebody had a beat or a bass line, and we would kind of rally around. But my brother wrote a lot of the lyrics and flushed songs out.
I just made a progenitor guess. So.
Yeah.
Okay. So. Yeah, whoever came up with the first thing, then everybody rally around that. But your brother made most of the words.
I think so, yeah.
Did he have to sing them?
He did sing, yeah.
Okay, well, maybe that's why.
Yeah.
Although, the Rush guy, right? Well, not the original guy, but when they got the second guy, he ended up writing all their words, huh?
Oh, Neil Perry, yeah.
And
yeah,
I
he
think
did
the
write
same
lyrics,
thing
right.
with the first band, Rocky Erickson, was in 13 Floor Elevators. I think Tommy, the drummer, wrote a lot of the words. You know, I'm way into this idea of drummers being more... You know, Chico Hamilton couldn't get songwriting credit.
Really?
I wouldn't shit you. I guess because maybe the notes don't last long enough. I don't know. It's bull. I think it's actually just prejudice and shit. You know, this... Like, if I write somebody a song, it's always bass lines. It's never chorus, verse, bridge, you know, intros out. Right. No, you can, thanks for that bass line.
No.
But the idea, I mean, this was a big mistake the Minutemen made, was having George Hurley in the back. Last 20 years, I've had all my drummers downstage, right at the lip. Especially with rhythm music. What a fucking denial move.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this guy's an idiot.
I love it when bands have a drummer, like, turn sideways or
new
front.
That's a new thing, right. Although I saw, you know, long time ago that, what are they called? They changed their name to Bent. I can't remember. But mask bands, you know, the Hollywood scene here, they had cats on. You know, the whole thing is just fucking with the paradigm, right?
Yeah. Yeah, we used to go see No Means No a lot. You remember No Means No
right,
from
right.
Canada?
And it was the brothers at first, yep. And then he who must not be named. Andy lives in Holland now. But the Wright brothers, John and Rob. And,
John and Rob.
Man, big Minutemen were his way into that, man. I got a poster. They had that one album where they all riffed on Finnegan Wake and Ulysses and shit. Yeah, great cats. How long does this trio last?
I think about 3 or 4 years. We put out a little tape and just played around at friends' parties and some trashy bars in Seattle.
And it went kind of like I remember long time Seattle, no underage gigs, right?
Yeah, I think by the time I got there, there were more. But, yeah, okay. A lot of them were – they were all at 21 and over places.
I remember playing, like, frat places, like Central Pump or Tavern or wherever the fuck that was downtown. And
yeah.
It was hard, and, you know, especially when they got, oh, this is the town. This is their moment. And, yeah, well, why not some under 21 gigs? Trippy how things evolve that way. So this band runs its course.
Yeah.
Oh, yep. Fuck. We're at the end of the first hour. God damn, I'm having a good time. April 26, 2023 edition, Wapito Show, special guest, Free Static. Hold tight for hour two. April 26, 2023, it's the second hour of Wap for Pedro Show. Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen of the Jim Jam Lounge, please welcome Bomas Prendon.
Still, it day no more. And the moon's in and out. It's the black green of the water in them jars you're looking in. It's like my hair looking back at me. The face on the mirror. It's a long ways away. It's good to know. So good. And there is someone looking at me. I deserve to be looked at. Feels like it's raining. And you and me are in the same place at the same time. There ain't no day no more.
Thank you.
Wofford Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Free Static doing Glue Skin Ass Accelerator. Then Bombas Prendon at the Jim Jam Lounge / Ain't No Day No More. This band, many years, has been together, maybe 5-6 gigs, but thousands of recordings. Like D.C. area. I think they were out of VCU, Richmond College here, Virginia. And then finally, Free Static with Half Nod Witness and the Last Word Screamed. So, let's hear about how Free Static. Chris, how do you meet Courtney? Courtney, how do you meet Chris?
Oh, yeah. We have a mutual friend, this guy we knew here in town, and he was putting together some record listening hangout. What were we calling
like
it?
Record salons or something.
Record salons.
Oh, yeah.
And he organized these hangout situations where we bring all records we liked and played them for each other. And Courtney was at the first one we did, and you know,
it's kind of like the in-person version of the mixtape.
Yeah, it was very much.
No, those things are important, right? Because they pop, like bees with the pollen, you know?
Totally, yeah. I mean, you learn about a lot of new weird music from those kinds of things. But we were listening to we kind of were like really stoked on what we each brought, and we were like, well, we probably should play together, right? Because we knew we were all musicians. And then this friend, John, and Chris and I got together, and we just started jamming, and we started doing it, like, weekly, the three of us.
Yeah.
And they were sort of like, we'd show up, no conversation, plug in, and just play for 2 or 3 hours straight without talking.
Whoa. Well, you know what? Because maybe that spiel would get in the way. So, you know, coming together with music. And Chris, were you doing that repurposed couch?
Well, but you know, I had acquired some synthesizer modular synth by then, and a little portable system. So I was playing that.
But you use that thing now? Like we're gigging with it. This
oh week. Yeah, we're still playing with the couch spring device.
Yeah. Well, if it works, don't fix it.
Yeah.
And Courtney, did you bring a trap set? I mean, what were you working?
Yeah, I was playing drums, and our friend John was on guitar, so it was synth, drums, and guitar.
Chris, were you doing some, like, bass synth, like some fucking Chaka Khan, or?
Yeah, well, you know, more like, you know.
Funky Worm?
Space sounds, more like Hawkwind.
Oh, okay. Know, yeah,
space
yeah,
sounds
yeah.
and
sure.
whooshes and bleeps and bloops.
Actually, the bass head first for them was fucking Lemmy.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, incredible cat. Not a lot of low end, but a lot of bass.
Yeah.
He's a very nice man. I got to meet him a couple times. One time he gave me his turkey, bourbon, wild turkey.
Wow.
Yeah, he was in the same pad when I was mixing my first up. He says, I'm doing an opera too. It's about the First World War. It's called 1916. He's wearing like this gray leotards, a belt made out of machine gun bullets. That's the ad. Nice. He was the nicest man in the world. You wouldn't have believed that. In this very genteel voice, you know, but this outfit, yeah, it was a trip. But he was
awesome.
Very, very kind, very nice and sincere. You know, look you right in the eye when he talked and shit. So much respect. So, okay, that first, was it called Free Static, that first prac?
No, we didn't have a name for a while until John had to move away and Chris and I kept playing. I think we were called Structures for our very first gig.
Yeah.
We played at a local noise show, and, yeah, we went by Structures that first time.
And how was the gig?
It was good. I actually played drums, and you played synth. We did sort of a krautrock space jam thing while everyone else was playing noise, power noise. We showed up and actually played some sort of pseudo-musical psychedelic jam. Everyone was tripped out that there was a whole drum set in the room.
Yeah.
Well, think about what you call kraut rock and shit. You're talking like Can and Noy. And
exactly.
It's kind of a German take on funk.
Yeah,
that's my
absolutely.
Opinion. Jackie, oh, man, what a fucking drummer.
Yeah,
and you know, and not doing a kitsch kind of clone, you know, just trying to find their way.
Yeah.
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 It's trippy. Trippy. But look, you gave me I Got Confidence. That's good when you got a brand new band. Let's play it.
That's right.
This ain't even my house. because it was fucking my Uncle Leonard's and shit. And he, like, all fucking did, like, all fucking come out.
Thank you. Thank you.
that chunk of music start off with Free Static doing I Got Confidence. Fucking you show up the gig with a trap kit. The genre name, Gulag, Berlin Wall shit, labels like that. But then you fuck it with their paradigm by bringing the drum set. And more than that, you brought some grooves. Yeah, bitchin'. Okay, I Got Confidence, Free Static. Then Ratchet Orchestra from Quebec with Yield. Brendan Elder Ensemble with Up. And finally, you guys gave me an excerpt, I guess. It was too long. These are long, but this is even longer. Free Static with Live at Epic Seconds 2023, which I'm assuming is like kind of a festival?
It's a record shop in town.
Oh, okay. Okay. Eugene.
Yep.
Damn. Downtown?
Downtown.
Okay. Things change, though. College town, too.
Yeah,
because Zoothorn Molo was working at a record store, right? Bill Hackerlode. That's what I heard. Somebody brought me a CD of his more recent stuff, kind of blues thing. So now you still called Structures at this gig, but it was a successful gig. And why the name change?
I think we picked the name quickly, and we needed to have our name on the poster or whatever, and we didn't like it, but we went with it, and then we just decided to change it after, I guess.
Okay. And let's talk about the material. Was the material you did for that Static gig kind of what you're doing now?
That, I think, was a little different. Our rehearsal space changed, and we didn't have a place to play drums anymore. And so I switched to more electronic stuff, tape loops and some mixers and delay pedals. And
did you have experience with that stuff, or was it new to you?
It was kind of new. I was learning from Chris. I was watching him twist knobs and plug things in on his modular synth, and I got kind of interested in how you can process sound, you know, music concrete, process existing noises and turn them into something different.
Yeah.
And so we started doing these long form recording sessions in your like garage studio.
Yeah, I had a little home studio in my garage, and we set up in there, but we couldn't play. Actually, we tried drums like the first time.
The neighbors got mad.
And the neighbors got mad. And she came out and was crying because she was so upset on how loud it was. And, and I was like, oh, okay, we'll cool it with the drums. And that kind of changed. Static Sound was born.
Yeah, that changed after that.
Well, that technique, you know, instead of putting the water hose in your mail slot. Actually might have been more effective.
Yeah.
So is the second gig Free Static or is it still Structures?
Free Static by the second.
Okay, so it's only one gig is Structures. And have you abandoned the trap kit even by the second gig?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, so sea change.
Big time.
Yeah. Also maybe set up and tear it out a little quicker.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some electronic setups are pretty big, man. Dudes filling up tables. Some dudes, they open up the crap top and push the space bar. I mean, that's a sexy gig, right?
That's real fun to watch, yeah.
Really, yeah. Whoa. Is he going to press it again? Yeah. Turn it off. No. So, you guys had a quick evolution, and it was very practical. Can't play drums because of the situation at Pratt, you know? You felt that the name didn't fit the band. You know, no, it sounds like, you know, pretty clear mind. It wasn't like you wanted concepts to overthrow the reality.
Right, exactly.
Right. But still want to express yourself in kind of abstract terms, but very musical. I really dig what you guys do. So, how do you communicate ideas? You know, I always ask this of people with improvised music. Like, to me, the dilemma seems like who goes, like what you said on the fucking Skype on my iPad here, who goes first?
Yeah, well, like in rehearsal, like when we get together and play, it's often just whoever hit the power button first goes first, whoever can get a sound spun up. But when, you know, we play live, we have a little bit more of a discussion around our kind of benchmarks in the set, but it's still pretty loose.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, I want to get more into that, but fuck, we're out of time. End of the second hour of the April 26, 2023 edition of Wolf Peters, a special guest, Chris Courtney of Free Static, hold time hour three. April 26, 2023. It's the third hour of the Watt from Pedro Show. for Pedro Show. Start off third hour, free static. This is more live stuff, I'm thinking. And it's another excerpt also. And this is New Music Fest 2022. New Music Fest, kind of generic. Where was this?
That was in Eugene.
Eugene, okay.
The event that Eugene Difficult Music.
Oh, it was that. It was that. Yeah. In October.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And after that, GAS Drummers out of Spain with El Muerta, Omel, no, El Mar, right? El Mar, he's a man with Spanish, but in French, yeah, La Mer, it's a woman, yeah. So fuck you, whoever's trying to make laws against switching around and shit. Let people have their own life, goddamn. The ocean does. Then we had Hidden Force Trio with Raul Cantazano and Colin Webster doing Slam Gretzel. Damon Smith and Pandelis Kariorgis with Pennant and Phyla Free Static, Memorial Sunset Skull Stairway. What about when do titles arrive? When the piece is done, or do you start with them?
Well, I have this like notebook where I just like free associate, you know, words and like write a list out, and then, you know, we'll come up with a piece and we'll open the, I'll open the notebook and throw out a couple ideas, and Courtney will say like thumbs up, thumbs down, or.
So the titles like exist on their own separate from the piece, and then we try to align them.
Yeah.
They're sitting in this trove of Chris's, and then ready to be plucked, right?
Yes, it's like a surrealist well of truth or something.
Or a sculptor with a big fucking yard of rocks and just like
right.
Fucking. I can see that goddamn, you know, Mount Rushmore in there. And, you know, I just got to make it be so. Well, I ask that because I have to start with the title to get focused, and like almost everybody asks, they put titles on at the end. So what you get, you already got the titles, but you got to see which one fits.
Kind of, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's totally true.
And when you're composing, to communicate with each other, do you ever use scripts or some kind of scoring?
No. No, we've talked about doing graphic score stuff, but yeah. We just are too lazy, I think. when we formed our group, we were like, all right, we don't write songs. We don't have to do anything. If we have to cancel practice, then we will, because we have kids and jobs and wives. Some low pressure, and everything is process oriented. So,
I don't know. I sometimes write out
these
scripts. Yeah, with waveforms and then like parts and. But I try to go back to it, and I can't interpret it.
Oh, so the best laid intentions of man.
Yeah, that's funny.
But, you know, that could be part of the dynamic of your interaction is, like, reacting without being script. You know, there's just like when people say, well, how's it organized? Oh, it's random. Well, that's a way of organizing things.
Exactly.
Okay.
Yeah. But I think actually we talk about music a lot, like what we're listening to, and oftentimes that's kind of how we reach descriptions to things, is like, you know how this group does this, or we hear, you know, this is happening. I like that vibe, or I like that tone, or I like those sounds. Let's put something like that here in the middle. You know, that kind of conversation does happen.
Well, that's why I kind of brought up the title thing, because if you put some out there, hey, yeah, you know, let's build that.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? It gives you something to set the sights. That's what Watt has to do. But yeah. I'm just curious about, you know, anybody who composes music, there's so many different ways to do it, so I'm intrigued by all of them. I think they're all valid.
Yeah. And the instruments actually have a huge impact, too. Like, when we shift tools, it does shift how things sound.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Yeah. Chris will build a new synth, and suddenly we've got a whole different palette to work with.
Oh, yeah. No, that makes sense. That makes sense. Because the, like, kind of the aesthetic. Yeah.
With some synths, you can't, like, sequence things very easily, right? So you've got free-flowing noise versus, like, percussive rhythms, and you know, that kind of stuff will shift. And so maybe something's locked into a groove. Maybe everything's loose and ambient. Or maybe it's built around a sample or a bass line that's been recorded and played back. You know, it just depends.
Yeah, instead of seeing that as a liability, you hook a key on it as a tema, as a focus point for the piece.
Exactly.
Yeah.
beautiful. Okay, let me play Peeled Temple.
Thank you.
Watt from Pedro Show, last music for this edition. Chuck started off with Free Static doing Peeled Temple. Then the Bromley Symphony Orchestra featuring the Underwood Piano Harlequin Quintet with Cities and Desire and Despina, just part of Talia Calvino's Visible Cities. Finally, Free Static. We clap for the drowned by They'll Never Hear. But They'll Never Hear, maybe. Should be by? Did that get written wrong?
But. No, it should be but.
It should be but. Let me do I'm going to do a correction, people. So pay no attention to that man with the fucking pen. Okay, so we clap for the drowned, but they'll never hear, because they're drowned. Okay. But, you know, and 10 is 9/10 of the law, so fuck it. What's ahead? What do you, let me ask you this first. Where can people learn about Free Static on the internet?
Our Bandcamp, freestatic.bandcamp.com. We also have a webpage, freestatic.xyz, and then you can find us on Instagram at freestatic.hz.
See that, people? freestatic.xyz.
Correct.
Not com, xyz. And from there, you probably got links going to all your other corporate.
All the links, yep.
The corporate telephone poles that we love stapling up flyers on.
Yep.
to stretch the metaphor, because that's what it's for. And what's up ahead?
We're putting on a show this weekend. We're just, you know, we're pretty busy locally. We're putting on a show at a friend's warehouse with a bunch of other acts. And it's all ages. We're doing an all ages show.
Yeah.
So
what's the venue? You know,
and then we're recording.
What's the venue?
Right now,
I'm
for
sorry.
The next record.
Yeah.
Courtney, what's the venue?
The venue is like my buddy's wood shop. I think we're calling it the Pine Box for this
Pine
show.
Pine Box, people, all ages.
All ages.
Yeah, this weekend. See, so kids, wife, other jobs, other life.
Yeah.
There's still time for that kind of stuff. But it's in your time. I understand what you mean. It's like you don't work it the other way. Yeah.
Yeah, right. We had bands for a while with other people in them, and that's just a lot of logistics to manage.
Sure, sure.
Like, that's too many things.
Sure, sure. Sure. And the future belongs to the efficient. And so you said you're getting ready for another album. Tell me about that.
Well, yeah, we're just kind of, you know, recording and doing overdubbing and, you
well,
know,
tell me how Free Static does. Tell me how Free Static does an album. Are they all kind of similar, or is each album its own fucking trip?
Its own trip.
Okay. Yeah, but they all kind of start like where, like an album would be like, you know, we kind of improvise together.
Mm-hmm.
We go, oh, that was really good. Did you record that? Oh, yeah, I did. Okay, let's chop off the, you know, let's find the end.
You know what Joey Wunder, drummer man, he said he played on a Pete Townsend song. He says when you record with Pete Townsend, you actually play on the demo. The demo becomes like the backbone of the spine of the tune.
Well, we record a lot in our just jams. Like, we just get together, we can play, and we usually record it. And oftentimes we find we've got hours and hours of stuff to pull apart. And, you know, Chris and I talked about Can a lot and how they recorded for
everything,
a long time,
right?
And then edited their pieces down.
I read about that they've recorded everything.
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll cut things down. We'll cut like a 20-minute jam down into like 7 minutes, and then we'll add some extra stuff to it if it needs percussion or samples or other, you know, noises or
so
sounds.
So you'll preserve that original, the thing that gave you the impetus for the piece.
Yeah, a lot of it's
that's
garbage.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, you know, that's up to people to decide, I guess. But I mean, you know. Yeah, John Cage said, like, you talking to your buddy and even the most beautiful symphony is noise because, yeah, it's getting in the way of your conversation.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Old Cagean perspective. So, interesting. Okay, and so you're right now in that process of the jams?
We're in the process of editing, I think, and refining stuff. We've got a lot of jams, and we're now, like, picking through the trash heap and looking for the gold.
When do you think it'll come out?
You know, hopefully in 23.
Okay.
I think we're pretty close.
Can I put an invite out? Like, when it comes out, will you come back on the show and we can play it and talk about it?
Would love to.
Sure.
I'll send you an email when it's out.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. And thanks, you too, Chris. Thanks so much for you both being on the show. Big honor for me. Please keep on keeping on.
Thank you, Mike, for all you do, man. We appreciate it.
Absolutely. Yeah, thank you so much.
Right back. People, April 26, 2023, the Dishwap Pedro, so keep your powder dry.